And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the Florida Gators spring game coming up this Saturday. This guy does a great job covering Gators football 24/7 for Yes Gators Breakdown. He is my good friend, Yes, David Waters. David, how you doing today?
Good, Mark. Good. Glad you're doing well. Back on the airwaves there. So, we're getting ready for some Florida Gator football Saturday. Maybe, limited spring capacity, but first time we get to see the 2024 version of the team.
How many years you been covering the Gators with your great podcast?
Oh, that would be August. We'll make it 8 years since Gators Breakdown launched. So, of course, launched a website last year to go along with the podcast. So, yeah, it's been through Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen, and now Billy Napier, Mark. So you know how it goes here in covering this team in Florida.
This is then what, year three of Billy Napier, is that correct?
That's correct, year three. And, we'll get our first look at the team on Saturday ahead of that schedule everybody is talking about, of course. So I said this, Mark, no matter how hard that schedule is, as you said, it's year three for Billy Napier. If things are headed in the right direction, no matter how hard the schedule is, I think we'll know if it's headed in the right direction or not.
I was fascinated by his press conference. I think it was like signing day in February. I never know what signing day is anymore, but I remember he got on the podium, and I'm just paraphrasing. He's like, I finally feel like I understand the landscape. I get what's going on. And it was interesting, the first couple questions were all about NIL. What was your impression, and I know this is a couple months ago, when you heard him say that going into year three now?
Yeah, I think it's been a realization, Mark. I do think, the weight of the Florida job is a lot. And while he has success in Louisiana, I do think making that move to Florida at the time of NIL, at the time of transfer portal, the Florida job in and of itself is a lot to learn. And, throw all those other aspects in there. This is not excusing what went on. He chose a path to go, maybe rebuild from, tear the foundation out, rebuild, trying to go through more high school recruiting, not rely on the transfer portal so much, maybe take NIL with a little bit slower approach as well. I think we can admit those may be – at the time, we didn't know if it could be mistakes or not. But I think we can look back and say, all right, they are. I think he probably admits that too, like, hey – I've learned some lessons, but we finally have maybe a stranglehold on how things look moving forward, and we'll attack it this way. Does it mean whatever way they attack it now is going to be the answer? But I do think there was a realization to say, hey, this is the way things are done now. We have to adapt. We have to move forward this way. Does he get that time to move forward with his new plan? Is it do or die in year three? And I think there's a lot of questions surrounding Billy Napier about whatever he's learned so far. Will he have the chance to adapt to be able to install this new look, new realization of what it takes to get the job done at Florida?
Okay, this is a tough question. I can't believe I have to ask this to David Waters, but I'm going to. Going into year three, he probably has the hardest schedule in the country. Is his seat at least warm if this season is a complete disaster?
Oh, for sure. I think so. Florida has fired head coaches for better seasons than what many are predicting Billy Napier to have. But look, he's got the love of a lot of people in the building. Some people know how hard of a job this was. I do think he could have done better in the first couple of years. I don't think Florida should be championship level right now. I don't believe that either. I don't think it should be probably due to some of his own faults, not a championship team this year either. But as I said earlier, we should see clear direction in year three if this thing is headed in the right direction. There should be some upset wins. There should be beating the teams you are supposed to beat. This roster is in your image. You've hit the transfer portal hard this year in some places of need, like offensive tackle and safety. A lot of the players that are going to be contributors are guys you recruited in your first few cycles at Florida. So this team is your image now. There's no going back to Dan Bowen and blaming Dan Bowen for this and that. Mm-hmm. This is Billy Napier's team. So I do think, progress needs to be shown. And if it's not, I know a lot of people want to put a number on it. 6-6, a regular season puts him at .500. Yes, it's an improvement over last year. 6-6 with this schedule is probably a better team. Is that enough? I think you do start drawing the line there. 6-6, I say 50-50 if he's shown the door or not. 5-7, I'd lean towards, you know, they may have to move on. Anything better than 6-6, I think he's completely safe, and they'll want to see, you know, what they can do with pretty much the same schedule next year, DJ Lagway taking over. So there's a lot of ways to weigh this. You know, a lot of it does go to the realizations we talked about in growing the program so far, adapting to that. But, Mark, we all know it comes down to wins and losses. And going through another losing season would not sit well with many in Gator Nation, but it's all about inside the building and their belief in Billy Napier.
You bring up DJ Lagway. We're here with David Waters with Gators Breakdown. Spring game's coming up on Saturday. How important is Lagway to this program, especially for Billy Napier?
I think pretty important, and that may be, look, I don't think you ever keep a coach for a player. It just never really works out. But I do think there would be a lot of wanting to see Billy Napier with his quarterback. I mean, we're going into year three, Mark, and we still haven't seen a Billy Napier recruited quarterback take a snap yet. Graham Mertz should be the quarterback this year. But maybe Lagway does give Billy Napier somewhat of a leash. Maybe we see that this year. Starting with Saturday, he'll get plenty of snaps. But I do think there will be some packages. There'll be some certain scenarios you'll want DJ Lagway on the field if he proves, you know, he deserves to be on the field in those short yardage situations, goal line situations, third and short where maybe you get some matchups one-on-one outside. You let him unleash that big arm that he has to take advantage of a defense that's given you that single coverage on the outside because of the threat that he's proving he can be with his legs up to that point. So I do think there's ways to fit him in that maybe should get Gator Nation excited for what we see from him on the field this fall. So I think there's a lot of weight at the quarterback position, and there's a lot of weight of the Gatorade Player of the Year and all the awards he's winning that, you know, given that might be around a 500 record for Florida, that Lagway might be the key cog in, you know, giving Billy Napier one more year to see what he can do with his handpicked quarterback.
With the transfer portal, with these players where they don't care, they want to play, is there that pressure on the coaching staff where you have to make sure Lagway is happy this fall?
That's certainly, Mark, it's your guess is as good as mine as of how a player will look at the transfer portal and opportunity on the field and how much they weigh that and how much they, you know, think they should grow and develop. I think there's a lot to learn. You know, I think there's a lot to learn. There's a lot for DJ Lagway to learn under a quarterback like Graham Mertz, who's been around the game, a couple of different programs, learning a new offense, adapting it pretty fast, and then, you know, now being able to put all these pieces together for his year too. I think there's a lot of learning experience DJ Lagway can get from Graham Mertz. And look, off through spring practice right now, it's clear Graham Mertz is the quarterback. Graham Mertz should be the quarterback. DJ Lagway should learn along the way. And that's the kind of way it's working out right now. So I think there's a realization of, you know, where Graham Mertz is, where DJ Lagway is, that I don't think there's too much from his camp in forcing that I want to be on the field.
When Lagway gets on the field this Saturday, is anyone going to be in the bathroom or like, it's just every I'm trying to make sure I say this. Every eyeball is going to be watching that right at the Swamp.
Absolutely. I think Gator Nation's really ready to see what they have in the five-star and see what he brings to the table. And Mark, you know, what we see Saturday, like, of course, they're not going to run the quarterback a lot. He can do that. He's a throw-first guy, but, you know, he can take off and run. He can get those big runs. You know, so that might be limited in somewhat of, you know, how much he takes off with his legs, how many design runs. You're not going to see the full Lagway effect. You're not going to see a full, you know, running package behind him. Oh, I really doubt you do. So, you know, we'll see more Lagway, the pure quarterback, instead of Lagway, the pure player we may see in the fall.
All right, I'll be the producer for Gators Breakdown. You are going to do one overall recap in the spring game. Then I think you do a whole podcast episode just on how Lagway was in the spring game. Is that right?
That was going to be. Yeah, that might be, because look, this of course, this will be the opportunity where we see the most from him, probably, you know, all season long. You know, I would be interested to see how many pass attempts he has, what receivers he has to play with, what protection he kind of has. You know, is he having to throw on the run a ton? Can he stand in the pocket? Does he escape the pocket too early? Does he get jitters? You know, those are things I think we can look at for a young quarterback.
What are your expectations for the spring game then on Saturday?
Oh, Mark, I don't have much expectations for a spring game. And no, that's not a Florida thing. That's just, you know, last year we saw where there was barely any scoring, and maybe the thought was, hey, Florida may have a defense this year, only to see Florida didn't have a defense in the fall. We've seen Luke Del Rio have a perfect, I think, 14 of the 14 performance in a spring game years ago. It didn't amount to much. So it's hard to know what to take away from a spring game, Mark. As I said, I mean, some position groups will want to see how they perform. It won't ultimately mean anything. You know, the spring game is in its own bubble. To me, the way I look at it is it's all about those 14 previous practices that lead up to this point, but you know, you're on TV, you're not going to give too much away. You know, some guys who could possibly play in a real game, they'll nurse, you know, those injuries, not have go out and play. You know, but we'll be looking at offensive tackle and how they block. You know, is the safety play better with those transfers that they brought in? Are they getting pressure on the quarterback? How does your running backs look? Their true freshmen that are getting a lot of reps in spring practice. You know, I think those are things we'll look for, but I don't know how you weigh it in what we think we'll see this team in the fall.
I hate your answer, but you're right. I completely agree. I completely agree with you. It is one of those things.
We know that. There's no game plan. You know, you're not scouting an opponent, you know, and trying to take advantage of, you know, what you may unearth on film for weeks and months to an opponent. You know, these guys have practiced against each other for 14 practices leading up to this point. The defense knows the offense. The offense knows the defense, and it won't be full game plans either way. So, you know, it's just hard to know what to take away.
All right, here's a tougher one then. Is there optimism in Gator Nation right now, or is it more of, let's wait and see what happens this fall with this schedule?
I think for most, Mark, it is wait and see. I think there was, you know, some optimism in year one and year two, only to you have your foot stepped on, you know, if you're watching this team. And, you know, hey, the defense is finally going to turn around, and it doesn't turn around. And, you know, the offense, it did take steps last year in some ways. Graham Mertz did take steps. He was not a turnover machine like he was in Wisconsin. You know, and Billy Napier and Graham Mertz have said, you know, there's a big focus on pushing the ball down the field in this offense. And Graham Mertz was learning the offense last year, and priority number one was taking care of the football. That's what he didn't do at Wisconsin. Well, he took care of the football last year. So the step this year is to be more explosive on offense. So, you know, I think if we see the things that they are working on, you know, we have heard from Will Harris, the new defensive back coach, yesterday, talking about how important it is not to give up big plays on defense and tackling, which have been big issues for Florida over the last 2 years. So, of course, every team out there is trying to work on issues from the previous year. But for Florida, you know, they can answer those. You know, like I said, this is not a team competing for a championship. But this is a team that can turn a lot ahead with that schedule they have. And if they overcome the expectations, you know, you'll be looking at Florida as, that was a really tough schedule. But, man, they will somehow won 8-9 games when it didn't look like they could do that the last couple of years. So, yeah, I think there's maybe some cautious optimism. And Mark, I said embrace the schedule. You got to play it anyway. I think the coaching staff and the players are going to do that. So, yeah, it's an opportunity. That's the way I look at it. Everybody's counting you out, and everybody thinks you really have a chance against that schedule. It's an opportunity for Florida to turn some heads. So maybe not the optimistic feeling right now, but there's certainly plenty of opportunities to give the optimistic feeling in the fall.
I'm excited to see the Miami Hurricanes at the Swamp, which doesn't happen often. I think that's a cool game. I think the UCF game I have to go to. I cover both teams. When's that happened? In a long time. Like, that's great.
I mean, yeah, not only do they have the toughest SEC schedule, you've got UCF and Miami at a conference to go along with Florida State, who you always have. So it is certainly a schedule. And Martin, that opener is huge. I mean, you've got Billy Napier, Mario Cristobal, both guys in year three, looking probably desperate in a lot of ways for a win to create some momentum for a season. You know, momentum hasn't been kind to Florida after some big wins the last couple of years early in the season, 2 years ago versus Utah, last year versus Tennessee, only to have Kentucky just kind of stall your momentum the last couple of years. But there's an opportunity here to open up the season with a big win. You've had a lot of recruiting battles against Miami the last couple of years. And like I said, it's year three for both these coaches, where I think the fan bases still have a lot of questions about the direction of their programs in year three under Billy Napier, Mario Cristobal. And those questions are only going to catch more fire with the loser of that game.
I went to the last Florida-Miami game in Orlando in, what was it, the week zero game? 2018. I blacked it out of my brain the whole game. It was not pretty.
I think Florida had like 8 sacks in that game, if I remember right. Kadarius Toney had a big opening touchdown.
That's right.
It was a pretty ugly game on both sides. After that opening touchdown from Florida and that Kadarius Toney screen that went for a long game for a touchdown.
Let's end with recruiting here with David Waters, Gators Breakdown. You do a great job from that front, and I know it never ends in Gator Nation. Are recruits coming this weekend, or what's happening exactly on that front?
Yeah, they've had some guys that were around practice and around the scrimmages the last few weeks and stuff. But, yeah, big visitor weekend, of course, this weekend. You know, class right now, it does sit with, about 2 top 100 commits right now. So is that ahead of schedule? Is that behind schedule? You can look at it a couple of different ways. You know, with the difficulties Florida has had on the field, you know, you still got 2 top 100 recruits in Jalen Wiggins and Peyton Joseph. Wiggins, a defensive lineman. Peyton Joseph, an interior offensive lineman. The 2 top 100 guys that you have. This spring will be big, Mark, in making some impressions, but it's hard to see Florida go on that big run they went last summer when you can still sell hope and a vision. You know, there's been 2 seasons now where you haven't put it together on the field, so that is a harder sell right now. So, while I talked about the fan base being – a lot of the fan base being in wait-and-see mode, I think a lot of the recruits are in wait-and-see mode as well, given what Florida has put on the field the last couple of years, the way the schedule looks, see if there's still a lot of belief behind Billy Napier. So I still think there's a lot of interest in Florida, but the interest is in let's wait and see what this team does in the fall, before we may commit to that team.
In hindsight, then, is the follow-up. Was the 24 recruiting class a successful one for the coaching staff then?
Overall, Mark, I still say no. You're still behind many of your opponents in the SEC. Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference, you're behind them as well. But you did get the heir apparent quarterback, DJ Lagway. You did get LJ McCray, a 5-star defensive lineman. So, there's something to like about the class. But overall, when you compare it to – this is a little bit different with the transfer portal and stuff and the way it works, but I still think – traditional high school recruiting is still the tried and true way, and I think it's still going to be the case when you're building a roster. You want to handpick through the transfer portal. So I say overall, it still wasn't where it needed to be.
I know that was a tough question. I know, man. I get it. And you do a great job where it's like, you're target recruiting all the time. That 24 class, it's like for months we're like, oh, it's top 5. It's top 3.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's the best. And then – when did it kind of fizzle out? Like right in December? What happened?
Yeah, I think you started seeing it. You got the LJ McCray commitment in October. That was leading up to Florida, Georgia. And the class was still, ranked pretty high at that point. And then as the losses mounted up, getting closer to signing day, had some decommitments there. Now, what that did open the door for with some decommitments and maybe moving away from some guys, it did open up some more roster spots for the transfer portal. So I'm not going to say it was planned that way, Mark, but when an opportunity arises, you pivot. Florida pivoted, opened up some more spots for some transfers, and Florida hit the transfer portal hard for some big positions of need, offensive tackle, safety, linebacker. So they did pivot and got some good players. Should help this team this year. But, when you look at recruiting and a recruiting class, you look at what can that class do for you 2, 3, 4 years down the road. We'll see. Like I said, transfer portal changes some things a bit. But it was a class that fell apart, but Florida was able to kind of rebound a bit the transfer portal.
What can we check out for Gators Breakdown, especially after the spring game next week?
Yeah, Mark, so of course there'll be a new episode I put up today on this Wednesday. We just heard from DB coach Will Harris, who should get Gator Nation pretty excited for his approach to the defensive back room. We'll hear from Gerald Chapman, the defensive line coach, who spoke last week. Then, like I said, the spring game on Saturday, so I'll have an episode out Sunday kind of recapping everything that we see on Saturday. And, of course, we'll kind of extend that coverage throughout the next week on Gators Breakdown.
Do you guys take a break, or does it never end with recruiting talk then, moving forward?
Never a dull moment in Gator Nation, Mark.
I know. Look, dude, I am going to enter this fall year 12 for Gator coverage. That's crazy. 12, yeah, man. And I've seen 4 coaches, like you're saying. 4. Man, I don't want to. I don't want to see five. I got to make sure this works.
Hey, Florida's best interest is for it to work out with Dylan Gabriel. You don't want to have to go back to the drawing board. But you know, I'm a believer. You don't hang on to coaches just because you can't move on every 3 or 4 years. Well, you also can't lose for 3 or 4 years. So if it's time to move on, it's just time to move on.
David Waters, my man. Thanks for your help and have a great day.
Thanks, Mark.